Order the Transportation Committee meeting for this Monday, July 31st. We appreciate y'all letting us start a little late, but last meeting went a little late, we had to eat some. So that was the cause for the delay. Item number two is approval of the minutes.
Move for approval.
Second.
Have a motion and a second, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you're here with a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address, and 2.5 minutes to speak, please. Anybody? No public comments. All right, going once. All righty. Item number four is discussion of Deer Creek Road pedestrian walkway. Mr. Morris.
Yes, good afternoon, I almost said good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just wanted to come back on this topic. It was talked about several months ago, and some of the alternatives to changing the structure out there that we have need to be investigated. So we've done that, and we're just giving this to you as information. The first alternative for the pedestrian pathway is a modification of the pedestrian pathway. It's currently a 6-foot pathway along Deer Creek Road. And that would be at the intersection where we would provide storage for vehicles in that transition zone, where a left-turning vehicle coming off of Commonwealth is not immediately facing somebody who's in that lane. So we basically put storage back at that transition area. And we would do that by adding a 3-foot shoulder, about 60 feet, to continue that pedestrian walkway along to a ramp. And once again, that adds storage. The cost, we have initial cost of installing is about $12,500. And this cost would be about $20,000 for that additional work, for a total cost of $32,500. The second alternative was suggested by Mr. Chapman, which is adding a 2-foot shoulder widening to the side that it's currently on. And that would also eradicate the 6-foot shoulder, just add extra space. And that cost is for the 1,000 feet, $65,125. And of course, we would have that initial loss cost of what we installed. And then the third alternative we've talked about before, which is the traditional sidewalk, a 5-foot sidewalk, and that cost is about $417,000. And we do have a snippet of video that we did put video out there to understand, to make sure we're understanding how folks are using it. And we do have a snippet, I think James is going to have to get to the point, that shows our general observations of how the facility is being used when pedestrians are present. We'll see if we can get it to work.
All right.
So here's a couple walking on pedestrian path. There's a vehicle approaching from behind, and there's also going to be a vehicle you see entering from the bottom of the video here. And you'll see that the car coming from behind, is it still moving?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, will yield to the car in the lane, move over into the pathway, then back into the lane to go around. So that's the way it's supposed to function, that's our general observations of the video we took. So just wanted to show that, and then just open it up for any discussion that you would like to have.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, thank you for that video, I was waiting to see, caught me and my dogs walking down that trail, not looking too good. But I think after all the negative responses we've gotten from both communities that were affected by this, I'd like to make a motion that we just paint over that white striping and just start over. I think that both neighborhoods, as long as they can get some reassurance that we are on the wait list for that sidewalk, and that council just takes a really look at that on our next budget to make sure that, you know, that gets addressed. I think that that would be a good path to take.
All right, we have a motion, do we have a second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay.
Would you suggest the recommendation be in lieu of the three we've offered initially? Is this something different than one of the three?
So I think we're still talking about making some improvements to where the road turns, right, to that corner, but just repainting over the actual, right, the road. But you would almost have to leave that striping there. I think that helps around the corner. No? Jody, can you speak up?
No, ma'am. We would not. I think what you're speaking of is just eliminating the path. It's, you would eradicate it. We wouldn't paint over it. We'd actually physically remove the markings. And then we would put the approach markings back in the manner that they were before.
Right.
Right. Which is, I think, a double yellow on the stop bar at that location? And if not, that's what we're going to put back, double yellow stop bar. You would not see any pedestrian pathway.
Okay. Were you getting ready to say something?
I was just, Brad did a better job than
sorry.
I did.
Sorry.
You'd be restoring the condition.
Yes.
All right. Let me ask a point just for clarification. Did the motion include pursuing these alternatives 1, 2, or 3, or is the motion now just to remove the painting?
Just to remove.
Okay. All right. So that's the motion. That's your second.
Yes, sir.
Okay. From what I've heard from staff and from them, that might be the best way to just sort of restart this whole process. Okay.
I don't mind doing one of the, maybe the one in the middle or the first one, but if they're in the neighborhoods willing to forego anything
right.
until we get a sidewalk, that's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Right. The motion passes. Now, do we need another motion to replace that with something? Let me ask a question on the side. If you go back to those options, to wait on the sidewalk installation, $417,000. I don't know what the first option from the neighborhood would be, but let's just start with that one because it's when is it likely that that could happen? And does that involve the purchase of any more right of way? Where'd Mr. Pagliarini go?
Yeah, and I can answer that question. So we do and have already developed our 2023-24 sidewalk project list, of which this is not included. And we historically like to build up with that, the way that that program is funded is $500,000 a year. And to get a better price for construction, we typically wait for a two-year period to build that up to $1 million and then proceed forward with bidding that out. We could certainly move to do that sooner and just do from a one-year period waiting period. I'll have to look back and see exactly where this section of sidewalk falls within that ranking matrix, and we can get you an answer on when realistically that could be accomplished.
Why don't we make that a follow-up item for this committee at our next meeting, just to see what that looks like.
Yes, sir. Option.
Okay.
All right.
That's item four. Item five, update and discussion on the mobility action plan.
Yes, sir. We are going to have Josh Mitchell with Stantec come up and give you a briefing on where we're at in that additional analysis we talked about last month, and where we're heading. I'm probably going to talk about this again next month.
Okay. And Josh, which committee meeting was it? Was it planning committee, Ms. Reed, where we had the input from all of the public input matters, and traffic management was right there at the top all the way across mm-hmm. town. So we're right on the bullseye with this, and you're the center of attention.
Okay.
Everybody in Mount Pleasant should love you.
That's how it always works.
All right.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to give a short, brief update on what we've done since we talked last, maybe a month or two ago. And this agenda is much shorter, just two items to discuss the two major intersections that we talked about last time, and we took a look at a little bit more detail of traffic analysis and some alternatives there. So I'm going to start with the intersection of Johnny Dodds and Houston Northcutt, Knott's Ferry. And what I'm showing on the screen here is just kind of the existing conditions. And this is from a program that we use to do the analysis. And we've got three alternatives that we'll go through, and I'll give a high-level description of each of them. But to start off, this is the existing conditions, and we've included some of the planned projects that are planned to occur in this area with or without a major improvement at the intersection.
then these alternatives kind of range in increasing levels of impacts. So starting with alternative one, this is just where we provide alternative left movement, so using the frontage road or an additional connection to Johnny Dodds northbound to handle the left turns a little bit different and simplify the existing signal there to improve operations. Alternative two is a little bit more complex, what's referred to as a continuous flow intersection, where you handle the left turns in advance of the intersection so that you can have additional movements, multiple movements going on at the same time. As you can kind of see on the screen, that's likely to lead to even more right-of-way impacts, frontage road impacts potentially. And then alternative three is the grade separated option. So obviously the more expensive option, the more impactful option from a right-of-way and property impacts standpoint. So those are three that we looked at in more detail and ran traffic analysis on each of those. And as a high-level summary of what that means for improvements, this is projected improvements in terms of percentage. So the alternative one, the displaced left turns and the jug handle, is anticipated to improve delay in the study area by 16%. Alternative two, the continuous flow intersection, by 21%, and then you see the big jump with the grade separated up to almost 40%. And so one of our takeaways was between alternative one and two, there's comparable traffic operations improvements, but not necessarily comparable right away because the continuous flow intersection would be more complex and would take additional right away. So that was one note that we made there. So that's kind of the high level of 17 and Houston Northcutt, and then I can move on to the other intersection unless
absolutely
there's some questions.
Ms. Chapman.
Mr. Mitchell, could you go back to alternate one, please?
Absolutely.
Okay. In alternate one, what I think I'm seeing is there is another signal on 17 for Johnny Dodds? Maybe not.
Maybe
it's on the service road.
Right. This would anticipate using the existing signal, the frontage road signal that's there. What's different here is instead of there being that frontage road connection between McGrath-Darby, that would be, in this scenario, that would be severed, and you would use that frontage road as somewhat of an off-ramp, you can think of it that way, and then would come in and be a jug handle left. So instead of taking a left turn at the existing intersection, you would exit Johnny Dodds, go to the existing signal at the frontage, and take a left there. And what that allows us to do is at the main signal at 17, you can remove all but one left-turning movement. It really simplifies the signal. You can give more time to 17 and more time to the side street, and you can coordinate it to flow more effectively.
So that person coming, I guess, from northern 17 on Johnny Dodds and wanting to make a left turn would turn right, get on the ramp. I'm having a hard time following.
Correct.
In terms of your location.
So coming this direction, to make a left, you would follow this. There'd be a signal here. You'd turn left, and then you'd go through in that direction, northbound. I don't know how to
keep going. All the movements.
Sorry, I apologize. I'm not familiar with this. I'll try this. Thank you. So in the other direction, this is the one left that we did have to keep to avoid some impacts. But coming southbound, take a left. You do it just like you do today at the signal. Take a left. Coming now on the side street.
Go back to that. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that?
Is that the same number of left turn lanes that are there now?
That would remain unchanged.
That would remain unchanged.
And just because to try to do the same thing in the other direction, there's not the same opportunity with the frontage road in that direction.
Okay.
And then the side streets would be handled with the frontage road system. So there's an opportunity to make greater use of the frontage road. So coming down Mathis Ferry, you take a left on the front of the road, and then you would get back on at Shelmore. So we've included that intersection in our analysis as well. And then likewise, in the other direction, you proceed through and then take a left.
And so under that one, then, I was wondering what that was. That goes on to the old Miller Cadillac property, right? That is now Roper owns that. So that looks like a significant amount of right-of-way that would have to be acquired.
No? For this that's shown on the screen? Or sorry.
Is that the convenient? Is that going through the convenience store? Yeah. I'm talking up here, Mathis Ferry.
That would be on existing. My drawing is probably
okay.
My finger's too big, but it's using the existing roadway alignment there. The impacts would really be to that southwest quadrant where we would be severing the frontage road where the existing Wendy's is.
So we eliminate left turns for all approaches except that southbound left
from the north.
From the north onto Houston Northgate. Everybody else has to make a different type of left turn. And that's what frees up the time to be used at the signal for through movements.
And then down here where McGrath Darby comes into 17 now, if I remember, you currently cannot go straight and continue over. Would that stay the same? Okay. Interesting. And then the other one, that's one.
So two, the continuous flow.
Boy, that's complicated.
I don't know that we're going to be able to explain this.
The lefts happen before the intersection as you approach, and what that allows you to do. Now, it is more right of way, but what it allows you to do is they can take a left while your throughs are going because they've already offset ahead of the intersection. So it can increase the efficiency, but it does come with some additional work.
That looks like an x-ray of a bad leg.
the other thing to note about this alternative, too, is that it can be a little bit more challenging for pedestrians to cross through because you do add signalized intersections.
Yeah.
So.
And then the third one we know is the, I like the grade separated in old school. That's an overpass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Question that someone asked me is, those do have a detrimental effect on surrounding businesses. Are they, even if they are not, even if no right-of-way is acquired from those businesses, do they get paid anything to offset the potential visibility and all of that when you do a grade separated?
If they're touched by the project and there's an impact, then they will be within, we have to do appraisals and make offers for damages.
Okay.
And a part of that process is the assessor, appraiser determining whether it's a full take or not. I mean, if you take their access, it's a full take.
Right.
Right.
But I'm just not like the effects of not being on grade with traffic anymore and sees your business anymore.
Oh, as far as we had that at Mathis Ferry.
Right.
When we, for the dentist office.
Yes.
We did pay damages on that. Yes, sir. So that's, I won't say it's necessarily for this situation, but it's happened before. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So in theory, if somebody's business is negatively affected, even though we're not acquiring any of it, they are compensated.
I'm not going to be the attorney, but that would probably be an inverse condemnation when we didn't touch them, but they thought they were damaged, so they brought a loss. They basically bring a suit against us.
That's the issue. I'm not prepared to decide which one of these I'm going with today, but we need to have the follow-up because this is one of the major intersections. I guess one aspect of this is cost and time. Which is the most expensive, alternative three?
Yes.
Yes. By how much?
I don't have that answer right now, but we can do a little bit more digging.
Even a broad ballpark. Not today, but maybe for our next meeting, just so we have, you could say one is 50 to 75 million. We're not looking for like bid level type detail.
Right.
Just to make the decision. I guess the other thing is, I don't know what the term for, and I have great respect for this profession because you have great terms for everything, but just the factor of driver adjustment, right? When you've got Like, if you're going left on Mathis Ferry to learn that you've got to take a right coming off the bridge and then a left, there's a whole new reorientation for that type thing. So that's a factor in decisions like this, I'm sure.
It is, right. And that's, I think with alternative one and two, that would be something certainly to consider. Both of those are a little bit atypical. There are examples of these things in the Southeast and in South Carolina to some degree. And so there's examples of it working, but we would have to consider the signage, the wayfinding. It would be a big part of those being successful.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Do you all want to get some more info on this and maybe we'll talk about it again next month?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, so there was no expectation. This is really an update for you to know where they are in the analysis process, and we're going to be refining. And I didn't ask them to have that cost information at this point, but the single point at interchange at Hungry Neck 13 years ago was $55 million. So, that's a significant upgrade. So, well, even the CFI, these other ones that you start getting a right away nowadays, they will be significant projects, tens of millions of dollars.
Okay. Thank you all. I love the continuous progress, and thank you all for being here for us every month. It's great as we work on this.
No problem. I do have a few more slides, if that's all right. This is just the next intersection.
The most popular man in Pleasant because of all this.
I'm happy to stop, but we do have some more to share if you'd like. This is the next intersection that we looked at, one of the other ones that was identified. This is at Coleman and Chuck Dolly. And again, starting with what's existing there, we looked here at three or four separate alternatives as well. So the first one being, if you add an additional left turn lane, you can simplify the signalized intersection, some of the phasing. The other option is to do that, but also take what's today that sweeping right turn with the yield and bring it into the intersection as two right turns, giving more capacity, and it's a easier ped crossing rather than crossing one leg and then again. And then a third option, much more impactful, but a realigned option where you consider realigning Ben Sawyer. This would have potential right-of-way impacts. But it would allow you to add additional capacity at the intersection. And then alternative four, which is the roundabout. So we didn't reinvent the wheel here, but did include it as one of the alternatives that we looked at the level of improvements on. And so comparing those four, alternative one being just the simplified signal phasing, two being the additional dual southbound right turns instead of the sweeping right at the yield, three being the realigned and four the roundabout, you can see the level of improvement there. Alternative one, not really moving the needle, but two, three, and four giving you some anticipated improvements with the roundabout anticipated to perform the best in terms of percentage improvement. Okay. And that is the last slide I have.
Any questions on that?
I think we'll
be thinking about all of these. All right, is that it, Josh?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the work. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right, we've got our homework. Item number six is ongoing projects.
Yes, so we've got a number of updates here for many of our larger projects, the first being our Patriots Point Gateway Intersection Improvement Project. And so we did receive an adjusted, and we're working through a change order for an extension in time for this contract. A lot was dealing with the relocation of existing utilities that put us a little bit behind. The good part of that is the crews from the contractor is actually going to provide two crews, a day crew and a night crew here starting next week. So you'll start to see a lot more physical improvement out there than we have historically up to this point, with most of that being underground and utility relocations. The traffic signal foundations, three of the four have been installed. You'll probably, if you drive through there, you'll see the vertical signal pole going up. The mast arm portion's not out there yet, but there will be transitioning and installing those over the coming months here. Vaughn at Keeney Parkway. So this project is well under construction. We're finishing the tie-in to 17, sort of the last major piece of that project, as well as the Rifle Range Road right turn lane improvements. Irrigation and landscaping will be coming very soon for the sections that are already completed, and asphalt has been laid for the majority of the alignment, at least the first lift. So that project is still on schedule to be completed in October. There's some photos of that. Billy Swales, phase 4B. So we are still in the permitting process of this. We're currently in negotiations with all property owners for the necessary right-of-way. We've made offers and are going through that process now. So that is moving along well. And then, again, permitting and utility coordination is ongoing. Maritime Port District, this project has made significant progress. Almost all of the roadway work is complete. We're waiting on mast arms. It's just one of those items that's been delayed nationwide for mast arms. But all of the underground drainage has been fixed. We've actually noted when cleaning the pipes some other areas slightly outside of the project limits that were resulting in some flooding through here. It was root balls that had developed in the underground drainage. So we're working to have that removed. So all the previous flooding issues that have happened out here were more than likely a result of that. So that will help the area. And we're still on track to complete in September 2024. And again, that has to deal with about an 8 to 10 month lead time on mast arms. There's some photos of that. And then we have our All-American Boulevard project, phases 1 and 2. This is ongoing right now. We're repermitting phase 1 and finalizing permitting for phase 2 with anticipated construction and bidding here in early 2024. We've got our US 17 and Mathis Ferry Road and Vining Road improvements. This project, we're waiting on a notice to proceed with Truelock. The contract has been awarded, and we'll likely start construction here in September. We have moved the needle finally on the Shim Creek Bridge Bike Lane project. The project is out for bid. Those bids do close August 17th. So, you know, we've met with a few contractors that had our optional on-site pre-bid meeting. So we're confident that we'll have at least a number bid for this project and then go through the process of permitting that. It does take a little bit longer since there are TAP funds associated with this and the LPA process outside of what it normally takes to select and approve a contract.
So that's looking at a January completion date?
It is, yes, sir. So and it ended up, I think, we'll end up timing-wise, be to our benefit, bidding this project, receiving, you know, bids and selecting a bidder by the December time frame, November. So, you know, a lot of it is night work, and obviously this is a popular area and the down season, if we have one, is in the winter time. Right. So it will be less impactful. And then lastly, just wanted to give you a quick update on some of the Mount Pleasant Way projects. We've got a good amount of these projects that are underway at certain levels of design permitting. We are looking at pursuing another federal grant, the Reconnecting Neighborhoods, RCN, and then the NAE, the Neighborhood Accessibility and Equity Grants. These are projects that are a grant that's developed specifically for more of these non-motorized and pedestrian level projects. So that's a September submittal date, and we're working to repackage our RAISE grant, which is essentially all of the primary route, spine route of Mount Pleasant Way. King Mile Trail, this is under design right now. We've brought on our consultant Trans Systems and their sub-consultant, Seaman Whiteside, who did the original design. We have successfully received Greenbelt funds earlier in the year. Mathis Ferry Trail, again under design. This is the segment that runs from 5th Street to Eagle Street. Also successfully received Greenbelt funds for right away for that project earlier in the year. Park Avenue Boulevard and Carolina Park Boulevard Trails, that we have submitted this past week for Greenbelt funds for that project and have a meeting with that subcommittee out in the field next week. Scannonville Praise House, again under design. We previously sought South Carolina Recreational Trail Program grant funds for this and intend to pursue that as well this next year. Hamlin Trail. This is the section that dovetails off of the Rifle Range connection of Vaughn Ed Key and would connect down to that temporary parking area that we have developed several years back for the Rifle Range Road Park. That is completing its design, and we're looking to bid that project here this month in August. Sweetgrass Basket Parkway Trail. This is the missing segment along Sweetgrass Basket by the Charleston County's DMV. Currently, that trail ends at Palmetto Plantation Parkway, and there is no pedestrian facilities on that side, so the county is starting construction here in August, and that does include a bus shelter installation as well. National Drive Trail. We're currently under design for this segment that spans almost half of the National Drive roadway through the Charleston National Neighborhood. Penn Sawyer Trail successfully received Greenbelt funds earlier in the year, looking to possibly tie this project and design improvements to the ongoing Penn Sawyer Basin drainage project. And then lastly, 6 Mile Cultural Heritage Trail. This was one of our first pilot projects that we were pursuing. We have completed a feasibility study on the sidewalk through there and provided the county with that report. And that is it for project updates. Happy to answer any questions.
So, is that all you got?
I tried to be brief.
That's it? I appreciate that. What a thorough thing. Yeah.
Mayor, could you go back to that last? On the National Trail, there were some suggestions on behalf of the neighborhood about widening the trail to 8 feet. Has that been done, or were we able to do that?
Yes, sir. So there are segments where we did narrow that path to 8 feet in order to not impact sort of more historic or mature landscaping at the front of the neighborhood. And we presented that information to the neighborhood in a public meeting several months back. And then in other areas where we're able to get that 10 feet, which is truly the minimum to be considered a multi-use path, we are doing that.
Well, good. I knew that we heard from the neighborhood, and so I'm glad you were able to work with them. Thank you.
Any other questions about the ongoing projects?
Chats.
Huh?
Chats.
Yes.
Mayor, I attended the Chats meeting on behalf of the town, and two things that came up. One is we are entitled to another member, so at, I guess, earliest convenience, right, we need to go ahead and appoint our third member because of our population exceeding 50,000 by a good much, good amount. Second, Chats is also doing, with the state, a congestion management plan. So I presume our staff is working with them on that, and I certainly don't want that to in any way hinder or reduce the amount of time we can get ours moving. So I just offer that.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else? I believe that concludes our agenda. And item 7 is we will adjourn. Thank you very much.